Psalm 119, where we pick up in verse 65 and go through verse 72. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72, these are God's words. You have dealt well with your servant, O Yahweh, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. All eight verses of this stanza start with the Hebrew letter tet, perhaps the most commonly used word in the Hebrew language that starts with that letter, is the word tov, which means good. And it appears at the beginning of four verses here, and the word tuv appears once. All the consonants are the same. There's a different vowel pointing on the middle consonant, and since the vowel pointings are over 1,000 years after the writing of the Psalms, we might as well take it as the same word. So we have 5 out of 8, starting with the word good. Now, what may be a little bit surprising to us, or at least surprising to our flesh, when we see what is good, is especially in verse 71, is good for me that I have been afflicted. And that word doesn't talk about the circumstances that are painful. It actually describes the pain that is felt in the circumstances, made to feel wretched, doubled over, made to cringe. It's a pain that is intense enough, or a grief that is intense enough, that there's actually a physical response to it. And it's this that he's saying was good for him. Now, why? Because as a consequence of that pain, he learned the Lord's statutes. In fact, it's the same word in verse 67. Well, it's a different form of the same verb, as in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And so, which is better, to be going astray and to not have pain, or to have pain that stops us from going astray? Sin is worse than any pain. Sin is worse than getting kidnapped. Sin is worse than any hard circumstance. And so he says, before I was afflicted, before I was doubled over in this grief, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And so when we get to next week's passage, the Lord sparing us in verse 75, we're going to say, in faithfulness, you have afflicted me, to the Lord. It's in his faithfulness that he has done this. Now, the particular circumstance that seems to have afflicted him here is the one that is described in verses 69 and 70. The proud had forged a lie against him. The word that is translated forged here is one, it's actually a painting word, not a metalworking word, for whitewashing or covering over. They have painted him to others as a liar. It's a very descriptive word, as you often have in poetry, like the all of the Psalms are poetry. But these have painted him as someone who is wicked. And praise God, one of the things, if we have to be lied about in order for people to say bad things about, we may be grateful that in God's mercy he has spared us to such an extent that they had to tell a lie to slander us. If men knew our hearts and the sinful thoughts and feelings and impulses that were there, they would not need to tell lies. They could just expose the truth about our hearts. But that's one thing that you can be grateful for if you are lied about. And one thing, therefore, to commit yourself to do, as in verse 69, I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. So if you're ever lied about, whether it's by someone in this house or anyone else, here's something that you can remember from the Bible as a good and right way to respond. If you're lied about, keep it a lie by committing yourself to keep the Lord's word with your whole heart. Resolve to do such good, be so godly in your character and conduct, that if they are ever going to say bad things about you, they will have to lie. But here they have painted him as a liar, and not only that, but mercilessly so. When it says here, their heart is as fat as grease, it's using a phrase and a word that appears only here. But the idea is that although the heart is supposed to be made out of flesh and has nerve endings in it and can feel pain, their heart is more like a fatty deposit. It's not living tissue like the heart is supposed to be. It's similar to saying that someone has a heart of stone. And the idea is that they are merciless. They don't feel any guilt at all, either about him or before God when they tell these lies. And you are going to encounter people who don't care that they harm you, and they don't have conscience before God about it. So you see to it that your heart would be tender, and that your heart would be tender, especially to the Lord. So in the contrast there in verse 70, but I delight in your law. We would not want to be such unfeeling people that could read and think about God's word and feel nothing. Truly, that is, that would be a dreadful lack of sense, a dreadful hardness. If we could read and hear God's word, and sometimes we do find that in our minds and in our hearts. Sometimes even in family worship, we don't pay attention like we ought to if we are remembering that it's the very word of God that has been read and that is now being taught to us. And so we can be grateful for the Lord Jesus being our righteousness and his paying for our sins. But when someone else is stone-hearted, hard-hearted, fat-hearted, as it were, towards us, it can remind us that we want to be tender-hearted towards God, not only keeping his precepts with our whole heart, but even delighting in his law. Well, praise God, even in situations that are so painful as the one that is described here and other dreadfully painful circumstances in our lives, we know that there is not only the human actors involved. So not only the person who is attacking you. In fact, the primary actor in every situation is God himself. That's why verse 68 is connected to verses 69 and 70. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. So whenever anyone is doing us evil, let us remember that God is doing us good. Remember what Joseph said to his brothers. You intended it for evil. Why did they intend it? Because they are evil. But what does he then say? But God intended it for good. Well, how does he know that God intended it for good? Was it by some special revelation? Well, he knew that God intended it for good because God is good. That's what the psalmist is saying here. You are good and do good. Not only is God good as one who is characterized by good, like when we say a person is good. God is good because he is the source of all goodness. Goodness is defined by him. goodness comes from him. Things are good insofar as they conform to him. And so we may always be sure that God is still good and that God is still doing us good. This is one of the great things that the psalmist has learned by his affliction. Maybe that sounds strange to you, but if you think about it, perhaps the Lord will help you see that it is precisely when everyone else is being evil and when the circumstances are hard and when the only good that you can see in the situation is God himself, that you discover and remember, and it becomes more critical to you and clearly highlighted to you that God is good. And then if you remember that he is good, then you remember that he is doing good. And you will resolve to do good unto and before this God who is doing you good. And that's how verses 65 and 66 have opened the stanza. You have dealt well with your servant, O Yahweh, according to your word. So you have done me good. And he says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Let me be like you. Since the Lord is the one who always does good, we want to learn from him good judgment and knowledge. Not just that we would learn it, but that we would learn it from him, that he would give it to us. Learning good judgment, learning what is good, is not merely accumulating information about what goodness is. Learning to do good is not merely forming good habits of the heart, the mind, and our actions. No, if we are to learn what is good, we need God himself by his grace to act upon us, to work in us, to communicate goodness to us. Same not only for our thoughts, but our actions. That's why he says, teach me, you teach me good judgment in verse 66. And that's why he doesn't just say the law is better to me in verse 72, but listen to how he says it in the poetry here. The law of your mouth is better to me. That we would receive his word, that we'd receive his law as coming to us from his mouth. Now, God doesn't have a mouth. But similarly, the scripture tells us that every word of scripture is breathed out by God. Now, God does not breathe, but the word breath is the same as the word spirit. And his Holy Spirit does communicate him to us. But here it's very personal, not just wanting to know these things, but wanting God to teach us himself. The law of your mouth is better to me, he says, than thousands of gold and silver. Well, the word thousands is the highest number in common use among the Hebrews. It would be as if we said millions or billions or trillions or a Google or whatever we would say. To have relationship with God, to have the good God communicate his goodness to us, not only loving us and doing us good, but making us good, conforming us to his image, that's better than any earthly wealth, any amount of material wealth that we could ever have. So praise God, he is good, and he does good. And even when we are in the sorts of circumstances that cause us such pain and grief as would even double us over physically, yet God is still being good to us. And we ought to seek from him that he would make us good as well. So let us pray and let us ask him to do that. Thank you, Father, for giving us this portion of your word that has put our afflictions into proper perspective. We do pray that you would teach us your law, your word, that as we receive it from your mouth, your spirit would work on our hearts and make us to find it more precious than any amount of material wealth could be, that you would make us tender-hearted towards you, to take delight in your law. Do protect us and turn, intend for good, whatever the wicked intend for evil. Thank you that we may be sure that this is always the case from you. For you are good, and you do good, and you have given yourself both for us and to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus. And so now in him, we pray that you would make us good by the work of your Spirit, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.